truth found in the scriptures that might have been life-changing. And I'm not talking about when you got saved. I'm talking about regarding your walk with God. There are passages of the scriptures that are practical. There are passages that are doctrinal. There are passages that are historical. There are portions that are prophetical. And this particular portion of scripture I've spoken on a few times since I've been here. But there's probably not a more practical portion of scripture than Hebrews chapter 5. And that's where we are this evening. So if you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5, we will pick up where we left off last Wednesday. Remember, the book of Hebrews was written to Jewish believers during the early church period. The author of the book is reminding the Hebrew Christians of the enormous price that was paid for their redemption. This book was also written to warn those converted Jews that there would be tremendous pressure put upon them to return to the tradition and culture of their forefathers. The purpose of this book, the book of Hebrews, is to highlight all of the ways that Jesus is better than the angels, better than the prophets, better than Moses, better than the law, and now better than the priests. Hebrews chapter 5, we'll read verse 11 to verse 14. The title of my message this evening is The Age of Entitlement, Unwilling to Grow Up. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Ye means them. He's writing to them. The ye refers to them. I know this is Old English, and I know the ye, the these, and the thous, and those really make us stumble, but it's directed toward them. For when, verse 12, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The age of enlightenment. No, I'm sorry. The age of entitlement. Unwilling to grow up. Let's pray, could we? Lord, this is a precious passage of Scripture, and one that could be and should be on our to-do list more often than it is. I pray that you would meet with us this evening in a special way. Thank you for the new Kelso baby that's arrived in our church family. And we'll talk about other prayer needs a little bit later, but we pray that you would guide us and direct us in this passage of Scripture. Lord, for those that are here, for those that have ears to hear, give us spiritual understanding, give us courage to apply this passage to our own lives and to our own heart, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Of whom? So the author is going to reprove and admonish and exhort the believing Jews that this is written to. We have many things to say. Now notice it's the word we. This is an author. We assume this is Paul the Apostle. But he's talking about his leadership team, talking to the churches, the Jewish churches at that time. We have many things to say, things of great importance, things that require further illumination, perhaps further illustration, perhaps further analysis. We have many things to say. The Queen of Sheba went to Solomon when she heard that there was a man on the earth that had wisdom above and beyond his years. Jesus said to his disciples just before his trial and crucifixion in John 16, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. The Apostle Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3, verse 15 and 16, and account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul also according to the wisdom given unto him that hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Of course, this is all warm up. This is all introduction. The next word is and. We have many things to say, and in addition, also, along with, as well as, furthermore, as a consequence, including, moreover, together, let's not forget that there are things that are not only need to be said, but there are things that are hard to be understood, hard to be uttered, it says here in verse 11. Yes, there are deep and doctrinal issues that must be discussed and taught and debated and rehearsed. There was a book written to young people, teens, famous book. Unfortunately, the author of the book kind of went south. The book is called Hard Things. You might have heard of it. You might have read it. I've read it many times, had many copies in my office, was going to give them out as often as I could. It's about young people, examples of young people that did extraordinary things when they were still teenagers. The reason why this book was written was specifically to address all of the issues that were being twisted and that were being perverted away from the true gospel, away from the true biblical account of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You can imagine what the unbelieving Jews were doing to the story of the Messiah. They were doing everything in their power to dismiss and disrupt the gospel. Not only because the items and issues were important, significant, deep, and doctrinal, but these people were not receiving them. They were bouncing off the walls of their eardrums. We can see that in the next phrase. It says, seeing, ye are dull of hearing. The author is basically saying, you are careless. You are slothful. You are dull of listening. You are lazy in understanding. You are refusing to engage meaningfully. You are listless, unable, and unwilling to focus deeply and consider intentionally. If you were here Sunday night, we were challenged mentally by a video for about 30 minutes. That Syracuse professor laid it out. And if you weren't paying attention, you were lost. At one time, these individuals, these Jewish believers, were earnest and zealous for spiritual things. Not anymore. Isaiah chapter 6, if you turn there, these are worthy to go to. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah 6, starting in verse 8, says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear, this is God telling Isaiah, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. The Bible says we understand with what organ? Our heart. So therefore, it's more than just a pump. Matthew chapter 13, if you'd go there. Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. Now why is Jesus talking in a parable? Verse 15. Sounds familiar if we read it. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, spiritual eyes, and hear with their spiritual ears, and should understand with their spiritual heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Turn with me to Acts chapter number 28. Acts 28. Acts 28, verse 26. This is Paul, the last chapter in the book of Acts, saying, go unto this people and say, he's in Rome. Of course, he's a prisoner, and he's meeting with the Jews that are in Rome at the time. He says, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. Doesn't this sound familiar? And seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it, because the Jews weren't interested. Too many games, too many politics, too much culture, too much tradition, too much legalism, etc., etc., etc. There was too much to give up. The price was too great to pay. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12. This portion of Scripture, as you go to Luke 12, I'm referring to these few verses in Hebrews chapter 5. Obedience to the light of the word is critical to receiving not only favor of the Lord, but further light from the word. Let me say that in another way. If God speaks to you and you do nothing about it, don't count on him speaking to you again for a while. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Remember? That's in the Scriptures. So if the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the voice of God are telling you to do something, whether it's pray or give away a car, obedience to that command to you. I only said that because we've done that over the years. I'm so sick and tired of giving cars away. When God prompts your heart and moves you to do something, and you don't do it, and you disobey, God puts a pause there. In other words, when the Holy Spirit prompts the child of God to obey in some area, whether great or small, obedience to that prompting is necessary in order to receive further promptings. Because God wants to see if you're trustworthy. Can he depend on you in this area of suggestion, this area of prompting? This not only pleases the Lord, but it adds faith to us, to the child of God. Did I tell you go to Luke chapter 12? I'm glad you're there. Look at verse 48 with me. Again, this is one of the most important, practical, useful, devotional portions of Scripture in the whole Bible. This portion of Scripture turned my life upside down, practically, professionally, vocationally, etc. Luke 12, 48. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. But unto whosoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. So the obedient child of God can see that spiritually and tangibly, the Lord will bless his obedience to the word of God. So his faith then grows. Therefore, he matures in the Lord. His understanding of the heart of God grows. God will not give opportunities to people that refuse to obey him. It's that simple. God will gladly give opportunities to those that will obey him. So being able to hear the call of God by and through the word of God requires spiritual listening and spiritual hearing skills. These people, however, were dull of hearing spiritual things. I hate copper-bottomed pots. Want to know why? They always get dirty. They always tarnish. And the second thing I hate worse than that is silver. My wife has this beautiful set. She inherited from her family. And for our daughter's engagement party, silver, silver, silver. Polishing and cleaning and polishing and cleaning. Silver, silver, silver. Why? To make them tarnish. You just can't keep them clean, can you? Because that's how we are. No matter how clean we are at any given moment, we tarnish. We dull out our hearing, our seeing, our heart. It's unfortunate, but it's true. Clearly, these individuals were not dull of hearing worldly things, sports things, entertainment things, food things, financial things. It was spiritual things that they were noted for being slow in. Verse 12, Hebrews 5:12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ought ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For when for the time, in other words, since ye first professed Christianity, yes, it is understood that there's a transition time from being lost and being saved. However, the Bible clearly presents the truth that you were once lost, but now you're found. You were once blind, but now you see. You once had no indwelling Holy Spirit, but now as a child of God, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and me to direct us into all truth. God gives us time. And the Bible says that God also plants a desire into our hearts to grow and mature and develop into Christian manhood and womanhood. How do I know that? Philippians 2:10 says, forgive me, Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What does that mean? That means the Holy Spirit works in us to will, to desire, to look forward to doing God's good pleasure. In other words, it's unnatural. It's spiritual. Because the natural man wants to veg out, pig out, sleep out, entertain out. But the Spirit of God gives us a desire to do spiritual things when you obey, when you pay attention, when you have your spiritual organs tuned, and they're not so tarnished. Of course, you don't have to go there because you know this passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Hebrews 5:12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers. Now there's a time when through natural development and growth that a young person becomes a grown-up. Sun, water, time. Like a plant grows, young people grow. They just grow up. Now it is true that physical development into adulthood does not automatically make somebody act, think, or behave like an adult. Mm-hmm. Yet it is true that once a person becomes a child of God, we are expected to share our testimony with others, to seek to witness to others about the salvation of God provided through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It is obedience to that commission and commandment that will get the grace and the courage to witness and to teach and to share the gospel with others. For when the time ye ought to be teachers. Therefore, if God wants you to at some time teach, the basics, the beginning is I will be teachable. I will be a student. That's called being a disciple. I'm willing to be a learner. So we could phrase it out this way. It begins, teach me, then show me, then watch me, then let me. I've used this illustration many times when I had to start an IV into somebody. We would learn all about skin and all that stuff and blood vessels and how far, how deep and all that stuff regarding IVs. Isn't that a great subject? So you learn and then you were shown how to do it. They showed us by doing it to us. Isn't that fun? Because you get to experience a really sloppy IV experience when it's done on you. We learn better when it's done on us. Then it's our turn. Then we do it to our instructor. Or one of our peers. And then, and only then, will they let you go into a patient's room under strict supervision, and the patient actually knowing that this is going to be your first real live experiment on them for the time when you ought to be teachers. So there's a problem, Houston. And the problem is, it begins actually with this broken chain, because there's a broken chain here. And we're not exactly sure where to put the blame. The first rung of the ladder is a listener. So Paul, in this passage of Scripture, identifies the first part of the problem. You're dull of hearing. We're not listening. So the first place for a child of God to be right with God, 24/7, 365 days a year, to be a listener. Then, God wants us to be a learner. You can't learn until or unless you're listening. And you cannot labor, you shouldn't labor for God until you're listening and learning, because what you're doing laboring, you have no idea what you're doing. Well, I'm just mowing the lawn. Fine, you can mow the lawn. Is that going to stand the test of the judgment seat of Christ? Well, what does that have to do with the judgment seat of Christ? Mowing the lawn is not a spiritual thing. It's just, Okay. Jesus modeled his discipleship sequence perfectly during his earthly ministry in order that we might follow him. On the top of the pyramid was Jesus. Below Jesus was three. Peter, James, and John. Below the three were the 12. Below the 12 were the 70. And when Jesus rose to heaven, there were 120 in the upper room. So therefore, the discipleship pattern was to invest in people. The greatest Savior, the greatest human being that ever lived, had 120 dedicated followers. Do we expect to have more than that? If we had one, that would be a blessing, right? Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, you don't have to go there. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So this is a really good barometer as to who to invest in. The Bible says faithful men. If the person is not a faithful follower of God, why waste your time? Why waste your time? Jesus didn't. Paul told Timothy, don't. How do you know if somebody's a faithful follower of God? I'll give you one hint. Do they listen? Do they listen? Are they willing to learn? These are simple things, right? Simple things. Hebrews 5, verse 12. Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. How many times do I have to tell you to do it this way?
But Daddy, I forgot how you told me.
Aren't we just like that? We're instructed, we're shown, we demonstrate as if we think we can please the person we're trying to please. And then it says here we have to be taught again the first principles of the oracles of God. In other words, there's a lack of commitment here. There's a shortage of desire and resolve. We are not expecting our converts to actually declare nor defend their salvation to others. Therefore, they are unlearned, untested, and unsure. Do you think the military trains their recruits like that? No. Do you think the hospitals and the medical profession train their professionals like that? I'll just do it how you know. Do it as you feel like. No, there are standards. There's a procedure. There's a way to do this. There are restaurants that basically say, we're going to unteach you everything you learned at that place. We're going to teach you how we do it. These are our standards. This is the way we do it here. In other words, a musician eventually prepares to perform. He or she does not just practice and play in private forever. The purpose of taking an instrument is to play it with others in combination. We often call that a performance or a concert. A Christian is not saved to study and read and prepare for nothing. A child of God is expected to talk, to share, to witness. In other words, to perform. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you'd go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 1 with me. And I, brethren, Paul is talking to the gifted, the arrogant, full of themselves church, the cosmopolitan church called Corinth. We are the city church. Paul says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So therefore, when we think and act and behave carnally, we are acting and thinking and behaving like babes. And that's so easy to do. I mean, honestly, the click, a thought, a craving, and you're there. Right? A craving, a thought. You didn't do it. You didn't go to Tim Hortons, get a box. It's just a thought. And you're already from the spiritual into carnal, and now you're going to, yeah, verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Paul is chastising this church because they're so immature. They're so childish. But they think they're so full of themselves, they're so gifted. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Why aren't they able to be doctrinally strong? Because they're selfish and they're childish. Who wants to be told that they're childish? Even a child doesn't want to be reminded that they're childish. Here Paul rebuking this church. Symptoms are all over the place. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, if you would. Pastor, how do I grow up? That's a good question. This passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 5 will help you. It helped me tremendously, tremendously. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. Brethren, again, he's focusing on this church in Corinth. Be not children in understanding.
Oh, I don't understand that. It's way too hard for me.
Have you given it any study?
No. Do you read your Bible?
No. How do you learn?
I just come to church.
How often do you come? Maybe once. A month. Be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men and women of God. Hebrews chapter 5, let's go back there. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. And when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk. What might the milk of the Word of God be? Think about that for a minute. What pages in your Bible does God consider or you consider to be milk? To me, not First Chronicles. I am so tired of the names and the son of and the father of and the genealogies of. It's driving me insane. It is. It's driving me crazy. What pages of the Bible are milk? What books of the Bible would you consider to be milk? What doctrines of the Bible would you consider to be milk? What words would you consider to be milk? In other words, what would be the first things that a new Christian ought to know? It's a good question, right? It's something to think about. Maybe you weren't discipled that way. Maybe you were thrown in the deep end, some hellfire and brimstone Baptist church somewhere. You just got thrown in. What Bible truths should be focused on? What lessons should be taught first? Well, that's a good question. There's an organization back in the day when I was a teen pastor called Positive Action for Christ. And they had a cute little book called, come on, say it. Cool, huh? Simple, right? Milk. Why a book? Why that title? Well, the title's biblical. Let's start at the beginning. It almost sounds like a song from Start at the Very Beginning. Sorry. So in this book, there are 8 chapters. Simple. Janet. So we're going to try to give young people a similar standard exposure to the Word of God as a new child of God. Or maybe they've been saved forever. And they said, oh, I don't need that. I'm good. There are guys that go into the military that are sharpshooters. But the military retrains them. This is how we do it. So you might know how to shoot, but you might not be able to do it the way they want you to. Same thing with this. You might come from a church. You might do this. You might do that. You might have a different understanding. You might have your beliefs and your whatever, your baggage. We all have baggage, right? So this is a standard to present the milk. Then, lesson number 2 is meat. Now, you might argue, I might argue that this should be lesson 4, but I'll tell you why it's not lesson 4 when we get to lesson 4. So, the meat lesson is different than the milk lesson. There are different truths, different doctrines, different things that a young person or somebody young in the Lord needs to know. The third lesson is bread. Cool, huh? Again, simple. And this is what I did as a youth pastor. I decided to take all my young people through these simple, no more lunch. We're going in the art room and we're going to have discipleship. I'm going to give up my lunch? No, bring your lunch into the art room. You can eat your lunch there and we're going to go through this. Because I had no time to do this. And then the last lesson is, let's go fishing. Fishing for men, right? Become fishers of men. So, what standard of discipleship have you had? Do you have any discipleship training? Formal discipleship training? If not, why not? If you've been in our church one Sunday, in the bulletin, for the last 18 years, this is in the bulletin. It says, one-on-one spiritual mentoring. Our church is committed to taking interested people and purposely guiding them through a systematic study of the basic foundations of the faith. If interested in being discipled, please see one of our invitation counselors at the end of the church service or fill out a decision card at the front platform. So, in 1984, I've told this story before, back in my home church in Rochester, the senior pastor had a big boo-ha-ha about a Sunday night church service. He made a big deal that he was going to have one of the most important services we've ever, no, it wasn't 84, what am I thinking about, 1990. And we all thought he was going to bring in, you know, doctor this or doctor that, and Sunday night, you couldn't find a seat. People were everywhere, and this is the passage that our pastor preached on. And he gave everybody a sheet of paper, and he tested everybody in the audience. Gave everybody a test. Simple test. Give me three Bible verses that say salvation is by faith plus nothing. Simple test. But every question got a little harder, and every question got more silent in the congregation, because most people come to church and they're not expected to remember. They're not expected to learn anything or rehearse what they learned or be tested. I mean, nobody comes to church to be tested. That's like school. Or that kind of means that I'm going to be held accountable for this. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. And we could go over at least a dozen passages of scripture that talk about the word of God. But here's a passage that encourages us, admonishes us, to desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow. In other words, without the word of God, you do not grow. That's simple, right? Yeah, it's like that simple. Not so much that if you do not get into the Word of God, you're going to die, as if you're not breathing. But you're not spiritually growing. So if you're not spiritually growing, there's only one other option. You're spiritually declining. If you're not swimming upstream, you're floating downstream. Period. We do a great disservice to believers that are not informed, instructed, or expected to do the same. We need to reproduce listeners, learners, laborers, leaders, and leavers. Until or unless we do, the cause of Christ will suffer and maybe even stop. Lost people will remain unsaved. And saved people will remain as babes in Christ and will eventually be ensnared and recaptured by the world, the flesh, or the devil. Hebrews chapter number 5, verse 12. I'll be done in a second. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. As you know, the Bible is made up of different genres, different methods and modalities of literature. It's history, genealogy. It's doctrine and devotional reading. It's poetry and prophecy. It's the law and grace. There's justification and there's salvation. There's the wrath of God and the blessing of God. But the truths of God need to be worked out in the heart and in the work and in the world of the believer. A tree gets stronger by weathering the storms. A believer gets stronger and more resistant as he navigates and maneuvers through the daily trials and tests of the Christian life. If he's plugged into a Bible-believing church, if he is teachable through the Word of God, if he is sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, then the power of God can work its way through his heart, his soul, and his spirit. Head knowledge. You know a lot of smart Christians, don't you? I know a lot of smart Christians. There's only one problem. Usually they don't act like it. Like Christians. They let you know they're smart. But it's easier and safer to be smart than to be spiritual. See, they think smartness is spirituality. No. Spirituality is deadness. Oh, I wish I had a better husband. No. All you need is a deader husband. A better husband's not going to do you any good. He's going to be all full of himself. And that's his problem, self. A deader husband, now that's something God can work with. Hebrews 5:13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Whether you are fishing or farming, whether you are typing or teaching, to be unskillful presents hindrances and hardships to your progress. The natural world is full of examples where a lack of training, skill, or experience puts a person at a great disadvantage. In the spiritual world, however, a lack of training or skill or experience puts a person right at the foot of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And if he surrenders and submits as a child of God, it's amazing what divine help is available for that person. The world says, practice makes perfect. In the spiritual world, one that trusts in the Lord with all his heart and lean not unto his own understanding, now that is the person that will be used mightily of the Lord. A sincere believer in Christ that is submitted and surrendered to the will of God and the plan of God can still be used of God even though he might be a babe. Hebrews 5:13. For he is a babe. There's nothing wrong or shameful about being a child in the faith. But there is something wrong and shameful about being an adult physically and developmentally and not acting like it. Back in the day, we used to call that person retarded, because you can't use that word today. But they're delayed, right? They're an embarrassment. The Bible says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being faithful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Hebrews 5:14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Let me pause there. Referring here to truths and doctrines of the Word of God that describe and define the truths of Christianity from the falsehoods of cults and false religions. The world says the devil's in the details. Do you know the details? Because if we don't know the details, we're going to be duped and deceived, right? That's where all the cults come from. The Bible believer must not only read the Word of God and believe the Word of God, but he must study the Word of God. Study what? Today I was reading a passage of Scripture. Again, I'm thankful that 1 Chronicles has some hope and some light as you're reading all the names. So here I am reading a chapter that I'm going to preach soon. It's a chapter on the priesthood, and it's a chapter on the choir for the nation of Israel. And it said that these particular individuals, this one particular individual specifically, prophesied unto the Lord with harps and psalteries and cymbals. I thought, prophesied unto the Lord with instruments. So I immediately went to my Hebrew, which I don't know a thing of. So I went to my computer. Ding, 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 ding. What does that word prophecy mean? What's the Hebrew word there? The Hebrew word for prophecy means inspired, at least in that context. So what was that? So I'm studying. Okay, here I am as a pastor. I want to know what does the Bible say about biblical worship? So here's the nation of Israel, 2 million strong. And there's 288 choir members. That's a small choir when you think of that such a big nation. And there are three out of the whole nation that are responsible for worship. And here in the book of Chronicles, well, all you do is read about names and names and names and names. Here in the middle of this, God not only said it once, but he said it twice. Not only are they going to prophesy with these instruments, but they're going to prophesy with these instruments to thank and praise the Lord. So what did that do? That changed my entire Bible study this morning. So I'm going to focus right there. And I'm going to look that up and do some study there. Because there's something to learn there. When was the last time God stopped you and said, don't go any further, stop here. You don't have to check off your Bible list for the day. I want you to learn. I want you to learn something. Because if you do that, if you take time to study that day, you won't forget that day.
Yeah, but there's so much to learn. There's so much to...
I know there's so much to study, but guess what? You have 365 chances every year. For goodness sakes, you can learn every single day. Right? You could learn something. Yeah, but there's too much to learn. Why don't you start somewhere? Start there. Because God told you to. Start there. Not only does the child of God come to believe that the God of inspiration must also be the God of preservation. If not, then we don't have a word of God that's dependable or reliable. One of the greatest deceptions in the history of the world is not our election. It's the fact that for 280 years, there was an English version that everybody accepted, everybody used, but then we need to get a better one. And now we have, 300 English translations? So therefore, we must have missed or lost the Bible for 280 years because surely we didn't have it because now we have a better version. We have the improved version. Maturity in the Lord is not in years of salvation. Maturity as a Christian is actually application of the Word of God in his or her life. There are many believers that are 20 years old in the Lord, 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old in the Lord that do not necessarily show the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says in Hebrews 5:14, even those who by reason of use, do you use the Word of God for your daily life? Or do you use your common sense? Because the Word of God, depending upon your level of spirituality, trust me, the Word of God and the Spirit of God will let you do life the way you want to. You can live your life the Frank Sinatra way, or you can pause and say, Lord, I'm leading this way. If this is not your will or your way, would you stop me? Would you show me? Would you redirect me? Because I'm prone to go the way my heart wants to go. And I know what the Bible says about don't follow your heart. It is by application that the child of God grows in wisdom and knowledge. It is not what we study and keep to ourselves that matters. It's what we learn by and through obedience that God utilizes to grow us and mature us. And the last phrase says, even those who by reason of use, have their senses, spiritual senses, exercised to discern both good and evil. Trust me, at my age, I have to be really careful what exercises I do and what stretches I do and what things, and what crazy things I do for my grandkids. Because there are certain parts of our body at this age that if you exercise them, you will pay a price for a long time. Discernment is one of those important gifts that the Lord has bestowed upon us, wants to bestow upon us. However, there is a clear recipe here. If you don't use it, you lose it. That's what it says. If you don't use it, you lose it. Like wisdom, discernment is necessary and critical for the child of God. Discernment is also critical for the cause of God. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, full in the sense that you might be 5 years old in the Lord. That's enough.
Well, I'm 50 years old in the Lord. I don't get that.
Even those who by reason of use, that means if you're not using it, your discernment of good and evil is limited. And quite frankly, it gets less and less. So the child of God, who might be saved for 50 years, turns into a cranky, I'll be very careful of any other words. They're not fun to be around. They certainly don't have the fruit of the Spirit. They could, they should, they ought to. But what's happened? This is what happened.
Oh, I did that years ago. I'm not interested in doing that now.
Well, why not?
Tell those young kids. Let them do it.
I see. Like Moses when, he was 120 years old and he kept arguing with God. Hey, Lord, look, my eye's not dim. I'm strong and as fit as I was, 80 years ago, I'm good. I can go over that mountain. I can lead those people in there. Moses, nope, sorry. You disobeyed. You're finished. I'm not saying anybody who's in here is 120, but unwilling to grow up or the age of entitlement. Let's pray. Lord, there are some practical lessons here that are vital, that span the generations, that are doctrinal, that are practical, not only historical and prophetical, I dare say are very useful. And if we neglect this portion, if we neglect these principles, we will pay the price. Personally, in our family, as a church, as a nation, as a universal church across the world, we will pay a price. Because we were not saved to soak. We were saved to serve. And in order to serve God in sincerity and truth, we need to grow and exercise and be willing to taught, be willing to listen, be willing to serve His way and not our way. Perhaps there was something that was said that God maybe used to stir your heart this evening. Maybe something that applies to you personally. This might be a good time to just bow your head in private prayer. Acknowledge to the Lord, acknowledge to the Word of God and the Spirit of God that you received what He wanted you to hear, that you were willing to open up your spiritual senses and to be spoken to, that the voice of God tapped you and maybe said, right here, let's work on this. Would you be willing to pray and ask God to help you in that area? I know He would. And since He's leading, since the Spirit of God is giving you discernment, this would be a good time to obey Him. In whatever that might be, big or small, public or private, it would be good to obey the Lord.